Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in our series called The Invisible War. In these lessons, we'll take an in-depth look at the unseen world of good and evil and how the spiritual side of life directly impacts our day-to-day existence in ways we never imagined. If you've ever had the sinking suspicion that there are unseen spiritual forces working against you, you're going to want to stay with us, because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a special 7-session DVD series and workbook from Pastor Rick called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle Against Temptation. And you can take a sneak peek at this valuable tool by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called, Why is Life in This World So Hard?
So why is life so hard? And why do we suffer? Why is everything a battle? Well, the answer is rebellion against God broke everything. That's the reason. Now, what's the result? What's the damage? Well, the damage, friends, is significant because it's in every single area of your life. You might write this down. Nothing works perfectly. Because I have made poor choices. You have made poor choices. The entire human race has made poor choices. Everything's broken, and nothing on this planet works perfectly. Sin has damaged everything. Sin has ruined everything. Sin has destroyed everything. Sin has corrupted and spoiled everything. Sin has injured everything. Every relationship, every idea, every dream, every human body, everything has been touched by this damage. Now, the Bible is very specific, and it mentions 6 dimensions of your life where sin has damaged stuff in your life, and it's not perfect. And if you expect it to be perfect, you're going to be severely disappointed. These 6 areas or dimensions of your life are talked about intensively in a book called Ecclesiastes. Now, Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. He was the wealthiest man who ever lived, and at one point, he was the king of Israel. And Solomon wrote 3 books of wisdom: Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Songs of Solomon. They're in the middle of the Bible. But in Ecclesiastes, one of these books, he mentions 6 dimensions of life that are damaged on our broken planet. Let's look at them real quickly. The first result, the first damage, is natural disasters and deformities. The world has natural disasters and deformities, not because that's what God wants, because that's what sin does in the world. The environment has suffered from human sin and human poor choices, and we're on a broken planet. It's not perfect anymore. We're not living in Eden anymore. As John Milton wrote a very famous poem, paradise was lost. We don't live in paradise. We live on a broken planet. And as a result, we have hurricanes and typhoons and wacky weather and earthquakes and droughts and floods. And you know, it's amazing to me that insurance calls all these things acts of God, but doesn't call the birth of a baby an act of God. In other words, an act of God is only the negative stuff that happens. God does not want these things happening in the world. The world was broken when sin damaged everything. And so now we have all of these natural disasters happening all around us, and God is as upset by them as we are. The Bible says in Romans 8:20, creation was condemned to lose its purpose. Everything on this planet has lost its original purpose, and that's why we have to get it back. It has to be restored. In the CEV version, it says creation is confused. You know, when you look and you see the birth of, for instance, a pair of Siamese twins who are joined at the head, that's confusing. And you go, what was God thinking there? That wasn't what God wanted. That's what God never planned. That's the result, because everything in the world is damaged, including your DNA, your parents' DNA, their parents' DNA, and everything else. Have you figured this out? Your body doesn't work right? Doesn't work. If everybody's body worked perfectly, there would be no need for doctors. And so we have defects and disabilities in animals and in people. There are emotional disabilities. There are mental disabilities. There are physical disabilities. Every one of us have defective parts of our mind, our bodies, and our spirits, because sin has broken everything. Creation is confused. And you go, why do animals do that? Because creation is confused. And why is there that kind of deformity and defect? Because creation is confused. Romans 8:22 says, all of creation groans with pain. You know what that means? It means that the earth needs salvation, not just people. The environment needs to be saved, not just people, because it's all been damaged by poor decisions and rebellion against God. Number two, the second damage that it's done is physical decay and death. Physical decay and death. Now, there was no death on this planet until sin entered the world. There was no decay on this planet until sin entered the world. It was perfect. It was paradise. But now, because sin has entered the world, there is decay and death. And Ecclesiastes chapter 8 says, no one can control the wind or stop his own death. Now, we know that death is inevitable, but we sure try to stop it. And we go to great lengths to postpone the decay, too. Oil of Olay. Lotions and potions and makeup and Botox and surgeries. What are we trying to do? To delay the decay. That's what we're trying to do. Delay the decay. Now, you're going to die one day. I'm sorry. But actually, I'll tell you in a minute why that's good news, because you don't want to live on an imperfect planet. But in the meantime, I hate to tell you this, you are declining, okay? You are declining. It's called aging. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, our physical body is becoming older and weaker. Would any of you like to give a testimony on this verse? A personal life experience. The fact is, you know, over time, parts of your body start to sag. Many of us men, we get furniture problems. Our chest drops into our drawers. Many of you, your teeth shine like stars. They come out at night. Okay. Now, here's how you know if you're aging, if you're getting older. When you have to bend over to pick something up, you go, is there anything else I can do while I'm down here? You don't want to waste the effort, okay? Okay, now the truth is, we all are aging. By the way, guys, I'll just give you a little tip as a husband. When a woman tells you her age, always, always act surprised. Okay, wow. Just a little tip, give you a little good help. And by the way, for you guys, when you, men, don't tell people you're over the hill. Say, I'm playing the back nine. Okay, that's what you're doing. I'm just playing the back nine, all right? That's what I'm doing. Now, Solomon is so brutally honest about decay and death and how we are all aging. It's actually comical. Let me read you this passage out of Ecclesiastes here on the screen. He's defining aging. He says, your limbs will tremble with age, and your strong legs will grow weak. Your teeth will be too few to do their work. And you'll be blind, too. And when your teeth are gone, keep your lips tightly closed when you eat. Just a little advice for those of you living in rest homes, all right? Okay, now, even the chirping of birds will wake you up. It all irritates you. You're so sensitive, and, you know, you can't get to sleep. But you yourself will be deaf and tuneless with a quavering voice. And then it says, you'll be white-haired and withered, dragging along without any sexual desire. You'll be standing at death's door, and as you near your everlasting home, the mourners will walk along the streets. Thank you, everybody. That's the end of my sermon today. God bless you. Glad you came. Hope that was a real inspiration, really cheered you up for the week. Okay. Really gave you a lot of input. And you feel good, go home. God bless you. Now, why is all that happening? Because sin broke everything, including your DNA. You know, I read this week in the newspaper, it was a big article, and it said, scientists have now concluded that the universe had a beginning and will have an end. Duh. Actually, did you know that for about 150 years, we didn't believe that? You know, science is often wrong. And for 150 years, scientists actually thought the universe was eternal, that it had always existed and that the universe will always exist in the future. We now know from Einstein's theories and E equals MC squared and all these other things that the universe had a beginning and will definitely have an end. Well, anybody who reads the Bible knows that. I mean, they call it the Big Bang, but wherever you got a Big Bang, you've got a Big Banger. Okay? Nobody, no scientist believes in spontaneous generation. That stuff just happens out of nothing. That we're just sitting here and in a million years, all of a sudden, a watch is going to show up. I mean, Pasteur exploded that myth in 1865 and proved that spontaneous generation does not happen, that things just don't happen out of nothing. There is a cause behind that. Now, in physics, this is called the law of entropy. Let me show you a phrase here, or an equation here on the screen. Now, everybody's heard of E equals MC squared. You know what this is? Delta S equals Q slash T. You know, Q being heat absorbed, and T being the temperature of the surrounding. Okay, any engineer, know this is a very famous equation. This is the second law of thermodynamics. It is not a theory, it is a law. And the second law of thermodynamics is the law of entropy that explains that everything in the universe is irreversibly decaying into disorder. That energy seeks its simplest state. It always does. It doesn't get more complex. Energy always looks for the simplest state. So that means matter is always degrading and that energy is always dispersing. Chemicals do not naturally become more complex. Chemicals, by their nature, tend to break down into smaller and smaller elements. Energy, by its nature, does not tend to become more complex. Energy, by its nature, tends to fizzle out and seek its lowest. We know that all of the stars are burning out. We know that the sun is burning out. This is the law of entropy, the second law of thermodynamics. That things do not improve, they are decaying. Things do not get more complex, they get simpler. It is not a theory, it is a law. Every physicist knows the second law of thermodynamics. Now there's one problem with it. You can't believe in the law of thermodynamics and believe in evolution. Because evolution says the exact opposite. Evolution says that chemicals naturally, left on their own, will become more complex. And that energy on its own will become more complex. When everything in the universe says the exact opposite. Energy is declining, matter is decaying. That's not a theory, that's a law. That's the equation I just put on the script. And every physicist knows that. And so you really have to live with the dual alignment to believe in the second law of thermodynamics and be an evolutionist. Because they do not match. They are self-contradictory. Now, I wish I had time to get into that, but I won't. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says this, everyone dies because all of us are related to Adam, the first man. Now, that's the bad news, but actually there's some good news in this. I'm glad I'm not going to live forever on this planet. Because to live on this planet, to have to live on this planet forever with rape and molestation and corruption and sin and sorrow and sadness and grief and power plays and people misusing each other and abusing each other, that to me would be hell. And God doesn't want you to live forever on this planet. He wants you to live forever, but he wants you to live forever in a perfect place, not on a planet that has been broken by sin. If you lived here, you're going to have sorrow and sadness the rest of your life and disappointment. So he says, yeah, I want you to live forever. I just don't want you living on that place forever. I want you to live with me in heaven forever. Here's what the Bible says. Here's the good news. 1 Corinthians 15 on the screen. Our earthly bodies, which die and decay, are different from the bodies we'll have in heaven, for they'll never die. Now, the bodies we have now embarrass us. For some of us, we're very embarrassed by the bodies we have now. For they become sick and they die. But they will be full of glory when we come back to life again. Yes, they're weak, dying bodies now. But when we live again, they will be full of strength. That's the good news. Number three, the third damage. There's natural disasters and deformities, physical decay and death. The third damage is the area of your emotions. And sin causes emotional distress and disappointment. Emotional distress and disappointment. Now, Solomon writes a lot about this in Ecclesiastes. He said, you know, I tried everything. Nothing worked. It's all meaningless. It's all one big disappointment. Ecclesiastes 1, 14 and 15. Everything under the sun is meaningless. It's a big disappointment. It's unfulfilling. Like chasing the wind. What is wrong cannot be righted, and what is missing cannot be recovered. Now, what is he saying in this verse? He's saying that as a human being, it seems a little pointless because I cannot change the past and I cannot control the future. What's past is past. All the stuff that I've done that was wrong, I can't undo it. I can't unscramble an egg. All the stuff that was done wrong to me, I can't undo that. I can't unscramble an egg. It's pointless. Can't change the past. And I cannot control the future. You cannot control the things that are going to happen to you. There's going to happen, a lot's going to happen to you in your life that you have zero control over. In fact, most of the important things in your life you had no control over, like where you would be born, who you were born to, what your natural gifts were, where you live, where you were born to live when you were born, where you're going to, when you die. You don't know all of that. Those are things that are out of your control. And God is saying to you, you can control some things, but you can't control most of the things in your life. And he says that the world cannot be fixed by human effort alone. Now, can we go out and do good in the world? Yes. Should we? Yes. Should we relieve pain? Of course. That's why we do the peace plan. The peace plan that has sent over 15,000 Saddleback people now all around the world to every nation. To plant churches and promote reconciliation, to equip leaders, to assist the poor, to care for the sick, to educate the next generation. 15,000 of you have done that. But when we send people out on peace plans like to relief, like when we do relief at the tsunami or the Katrina or the Pakistan earthquake or Japan earthquake, we sent people to that. Now Norway, all these different disasters and things. We often send them in t-shirts that says, "We came to serve, not to solve." Because we can't solve all the world's problems. It's irreparably broken. What we do is go to relieve hurt, to heal people, to help them make it through. But we're not kidding ourselves. We're not going to bring the kingdom in on earth. This is not heaven. Heaven is there, and we are here. And our ultimate job is to get people into the perfect place, not try to make the world a perfect place. Relieve pain? Yes. Make it better? Yes. Expect it to be perfect? No.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad you're with us today. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today. But first, every day, there's a spiritual war raging all around you. In order to effectively fight this war, you need to be equipped with knowledge of the tactics Satan will use to try to trap you. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the Invisible War, winning the Battle of Temptation DVD study kit. In this 7-session Bible study, Pastor Rick teaches how to overcome the 3 main types of temptations that Satan uses to influence us. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, we all face temptations every day. It's a spiritual battle that takes place inside us, and it makes us vulnerable, particularly if we don't know how to fight it.
To overcome temptation, it is absolutely essential that you know the tactics that Satan uses to trip us up. And it's vital to learn the biblical defenses that God gives us. He has told us in His Word how to handle and how to manage the attacks of Satan. Now, in order to help you learn how to respond to the predictable patterns that Satan uses to tempt you, I've created a study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. This kit, The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, includes a DVD with 7 different sessions and a simple booklet that'll help you learn how to overcome and defeat temptation in your life. You really need this. In the series, I will teach you the 3 kinds of temptation, God's antidote to temptation, and even how to avoid temptation in the first place. It is a study guide that you can use by yourself, but you'll actually get more out of it if you'll gather a small group of friends together and study it together as a small group. Now, I want to send you the Invisible War, Winning the Battle for Temptation study kit to say thanks for your support of Daily Hope with your financial gift. You know, we can't do this without you. And your generosity helps us take the hope of Christ into places all around the world and now to places that have no Bible, no believer, and no body of Christ. Thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope.
Go to PastorRick.com to get this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Again, that's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.